So, Terry, who would you like to nominate for the Uplifters podcast?
Kate Milligan, One Girl Revolution.
What is it about Kate?
Kate needs to know more. She's a warrior. There's so many women that I know, but she was the first one that came to my heart.
Welcome to the Uplifters podcast, where every week we celebrate remarkable women who are doing big, brave things and changing their corner of the world. I'm your host, Aranza Savas, and you just heard Terry Grawl from episode 114 nominating Kate Milligan, who's an Emmy-nominated producer, writer, and the powerhouse behind One Girl Revolution. Kate started her career in D.C. She spent 7 years there working in PR and media, but got frustrated with how women's authentic stories were being politicized and ignored often. And in frustration, she moved back to Detroit and became inspired by the city's motto, "There is always hope. It will rise from the ashes." I feel like every one of us needs to hear that at this exact moment over and over and over. And this whole show is really designed to create powerful proof for all of us that we can do big, brave things and that we can rise from our own ashes, whatever they might be, and have some belief in our own ability to do that because we see and hear other women who are doing that. And Kate, the way that you have channeled your media expertise into something really, I don't know, not to overuse the word, a little revolutionary, a multimedia platform dedicated to amplifying the voices of everyday women and girls who are often marginalized or forgotten, I think holds so much power for us. And as someone who feels like when I saw your story, Kate, I was like, look, there's somebody doing what I'm doing in a different corner. And what if we met and learned from each other and just see what happens? So I was really excited when Terry nominated you. Thank you so much for carving out time today to hang out with us.
Oh my gosh, Aranzas, thank you so much for having me on. I love what you do. And yeah, when we got connected, I was like going through all of your work and I was like, there is so much synergy here. And I know you and I are both in the same mindset of women are stronger when they stand together and yes, support one another. And storytelling is so powerful. So I just love everything that you are doing. And I'm so honored and grateful to be here.
Oh my gosh, it really is just such a joy. So we talk a lot on this show about raising courage capital. And when I talk about raising courage capital, basically I'm talking about this idea that we all know that if we want to do big, brave things, we're probably going to need to fund it with financial capital. But I really believe, especially after listening to over 100 women's stories on this show, that what we need in order to raise the financial capital, what we need in order to do any big, brave thing is actually something closer to courage capital. It's a term coined by one of our guests early on. And when I look at your story, so you went from this very well-established traditional career in media in DC, which is a freaking machine with all sorts of rules and order and processes. And then you went home and you said, okay, I'm going to figure out who I am. I'm going to figure out what I need and I'm going to do my own thing. I'd love to walk through with you sort of the early days of that transition so that we can get a sense of how you indeed raise the courage capital to do big, brave things. And hopefully over the course of this conversation, find out how you're continuing to raise courage capital to do even bigger and even braver things.
Yeah, that's the thing is I think that we always are. Like, I love that courage capital because life is full of many chapters, right? And I think different chapters of life, you need different levels of courage. I love that. And now I'm going to be thinking about that throughout different chapters of my own journey. But to rewind, I, like you said, I was living and working in Washington, D.C. for almost 7 years and was really frustrated by the fact that women's voices and their stories weren't being highlighted in the media, especially the inspiring nonprofit founders and women that I saw, you know, not sitting around and waiting for a system, which many of the systems in the world are so broken, which we all know and experience every single day watching the news, right? There's so much frustration, but I love the stories of women who see a need in their community or see a need in the world and they're like, I'm not going to sit around and wait for one of the systems that is already broken to fix this situation. I'm going to be the solution. And so just kind of in my free time, I would pitch these stories that I found inspiring to reporters and producers, and they wouldn't often get picked up. And this was not client work. This was just fun, inspiring work for me. And I've always kind of...
You're like, somebody just needs to hear these stories.
Yeah. And so like, why aren't they on the media? And so I was, you know, getting more and more frustrated. And this would have been 2018. And this is, you know, 7 years, it's 2011 to 2018. And there were a lot of different reasons, but I just decided I didn't want to do that anymore. I didn't want to work in a PR firm environment. I didn't really know what I was going to do. So I think there was a lot of courage capital right there. But I think a safe place for me, or I think one thing that gave me a lot of courage in that moment, was I come from a really strong, tight-knit family, and especially my parents during that situation. Like, I will always remember my dad saying, you know, I was frustrated. I was like, I really want to come back to Michigan. I'm tired of DC. It's not where I want to be. I had thought that I wanted to get into political commentating. That's why I moved to DC and did not do that. I was so frustrated by that. And I remember having a conversation with my dad about like, okay, should I leave? And he was like, look, Kate, you fill up the U-Haul, you move all your stuff back. And if you change your mind a month or two from now, we'll load it right back up and drive you right back to DC. So if that's what you want to do. And to me, that was such a powerful moment. I think a lot of times when we have to be courageous, we need someone just to give us the permission to be courageous.
And also to say like, you don't have to make a decision forever, girlfriend.
Right, right.
It doesn't have to be totally right. It can just be right for right now.
And sometimes it's a moment of courage, right? And I know that you've had so many women on your podcast, and same with one girl. It's like, I have seen so many instances where women have this moment where they're just like they're in a domestic abuse situation, and they're like, they have this moment where they're able to leave and they have this moment of courage. And then of course they have to find more courage because they have to deal with all of the repercussions of that. And I found the same. It was like, I needed that moment of courage. And so like my dad saying that, and one of my sisters flew to DC, helped me load up the U-Haul and move all my stuff back. And so summer of 2018 was really an existential moment for me, really just kind of figuring out, what did I really want to do here? I had been just doing jobs for other people. I had been, you know, PR in the background, working with the media for different clients, for different organizations. And it was really a moment of me figuring out, who is Kate and who was I created to be? I had all these ideas and hopes and dreams and things that I wanted to do. But that was a moment of like, okay, what am I going to do? And it was in reading a book about the city of Detroit that I stumbled upon Detroit's motto, there is always hope and it will rise from the ashes. And it was at that moment, Aransas, that I had been thinking about women, thinking about doing something. One Girl Revolution was kind of something in the back of my mind. I loved that phrase. And then it was at that moment that I read those two phrases that I was like, that's what women are. Women are the most resilient. They're so powerful that they can transform this world, but we oftentimes lose sight of that in ourselves. And so it was at that moment that I was like, I need to start One Girl Revolution. And, you know, there are many, many courage capital moments after that, but that was kind of the big turning point for me.
I love that story so much, and the idea that we don't always have to raise the courage ourselves. We can have it lent to us by other people who believe in us, mm-hmm. which I think is so true in my own life, certainly, but in so many of our guest stories as well. I also think we can get hung up in this idea of certainty, that this has to be the right mission and the right answer. And I hear you kind of saying, I was flirting with this, it felt good, I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah.
So how did you choose or decide to lean all the way into this idea of amplifying women's stories?
Yeah, it's so interesting that you say it in that way, you know, that you're kind of, what you were just saying there really resonates with me, because when I first decided to start One Girl Revolution, I got all kinds of advice, which the second you start talking about your hope, your dream, a new job, a change in your life, you'll start getting a lot of people, some is warranted, some isn't, some is great advice, some isn't. And I came up with this kind of concept, which it's now become what it is, it's becoming what it is today. One Girl Revolution is this multimedia organization that's highlighting the stories, but also staying in touch with these women and these organizations. So that was my vision for it way back in 2018. And the advice that I got from people was, well, raise $100,000, and then do the thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, first of all, I don't have $100,000. I don't know anybody who does have $100,000. And I think I'm just going to do it and figure it out. And there at the time, because podcasts, I feel like podcasts have also gone through so many different chapters and, you know, are constantly growing and evolving. And even in 2018, I remember thinking like, oh, I kind of missed the boat on this. I'm a little bit late to the party. But now here we are in 2025. And I think there's a moment right now where other people are kind of thinking about podcasts. And it's like, there's always room for more. I really am a believer that there is always room. So don't feel like you missed the boat. Just do the thing. And so I remember there were podcast studios that were kind of popping up different places. And I thought, well, I don't know how to do a podcast, but if I could at least find somebody that could like record it and maybe edit it for me and help me like figure out how to get it out, then that would be like an easier way to do it. I know that podcasts are a lot of work, but that would kind of simplify it for me. And around that time, I had read an article about how the majority of podcasts only do 7 episodes. So I thought, all right, let's start small, which I think is a really important thing. And even with that courage capital, right? Like, what is the one courageous step that you can take? I took one, getting back to Detroit. Then 2 was starting One Girl Revolution, you know, just on social media and talking about it, and then starting it as this podcast. And that was an easy step for me because I was like, all right, I'll do 10 episodes. I'll do it at this podcast studio so they can help me kind of figure out the whole system, how this works, how to record. And so that's what I did. I did 10 episodes. And I thought, even if I did 10 and walked away, that was more than the majority of podcasts. And then, as I know you've experienced, it's like the 10 podcast episodes turned into 20 because I kept finding more stories. And then 20 turned into 30. And now we're at over 260 episodes.
Amazing.
And every time that I start to think like, okay, is this it? Like, we can wrap things up. I stumble upon more amazing stories and people send me stories. I know I had a guest a couple weeks ago that sent me this whole lineup of like all these interesting stories that I didn't even know existed. And I think there's such a need in this world for stories to be told and for outlets like this, for outlets like One Girl Revolution to elevate voices, elevate stories. And really that has so much power to change the world. Just stepping out and doing the one thing, what's the small step that you can take that has the power to change the world? In retrospect, I am so glad that I didn't raise $100,000 and then do the thing, because also one side note about that is One Girl Revolution has truly been built by the women that I've interviewed. Because at the beginning, had I gotten $100,000 from somebody, they would have been like, okay, this is what it should look like. This is what, you know, you should cover these topics. You should have this person on. And I didn't do it that way. I just started identifying stories. And now One Girl Revolution has taken on a life of its own, but it's taken on the life that these women and these stories have built, which is the most incredible, beautiful thing I have ever fathomed.
Yeah, it feels so responsive. I have a friend who always talks about looking toward the door that is opening. And it is this idea that instead of kind of trying to knock doors open, look for the way that is inviting you and try to be responsive to the momentum that is naturally occurring. And I hear that so much in your story, that you followed both your own experience and expertise, but you also followed the needs of these women. So much of success as a founder, an entrepreneur, comes from being responsive to a need. And then in meeting that need, discovering another need. And I know Terry Grawl was on your show and has become a friend. And I know you've been instrumental in amplifying her story. And we hear the same thing modeled in her story, that it wasn't some giant strategy and I have all the answers and I know the destination and I've mapped out the full plan to get there. But it's rather, here's the first destination. Now, where is that telling me to go? What's the next destination? Where is that telling me to go? And I hear that in your story, but I also hear over and over the power of support, whether it was from your family or from inviting in other experts to collaborate. And I think that can be a challenge too for people who are starting something new, to want to be self-reliant or to need to be self-reliant for lots of reasons. But I think I hear in your story the power of opening that idea up to others and letting them clear other paths and help you see other paths.
Yeah, having a clear vision too, right? Like I had a clear vision. It's not like I just kind of like opened the floodgates and said like, come on and talk whatever you want about.
Really.
I was helping these women curate their stories. And a lot of it, like in retrospect, I'm so glad that I have the PR background because I was able to see a story, read something like Terry Grohl's story and be like, okay, these are the questions I want to ask to help her curate her story in the way that I saw the world needed to hear it, and still giving her the freedom to tell her story in the way that she wants. Like that's a big part of One Girl Revolution is I won't ask questions that somebody doesn't want to be asked. I really give these women and girls a lot of space for that. But the stories that inspire me the most are not somebody that like was like, I need to start this nonprofit or I need to do this big thing. I need to start my own business. It's somebody that just saw a need and they did the little thing. And then the little thing turned into something bigger. And then it turned into something bigger. And then like just continued to grow from there. And we all have that ability in us. And sometimes we talk ourselves out of doing things because it seems too big. And it's like One Girl Revolution, for instance. I'm so glad that I didn't see where it was going to go because I probably would have been too scared. I just saw the need and I put one foot in front of the other. And same with 5 years down the line. I hope that it just continues to grow and evolve. Same with you, with your podcast. It's a lot of work for people that are listening. Podcasts are a lot of work and everybody wants to be a podcaster and have a podcast, but you have to be willing to do the work. And I'm so glad that I didn't realize how much work it was going to be. And I just put one foot in front of the other and it's become what it's still becoming. And same with me, same with each and every one of us, is we are always becoming who we were meant to be, who we were created to be. And I truly believe in that. And so we don't have to have everything figured out. It's like, just do the one thing that leads you to the next thing.
Yeah. And what do you say to people when you say, be who you're created to be, or we can all be who we were created to? What do you say to people who are like, who is that?
Yeah. It is such a loaded question. And I think a lot of times people don't feel like they know what their purpose is or what their mission is. But the way that I always think about it is, and we know this to be true, we are as unique as our fingerprint. There is nobody that has your fingerprints, my fingerprints. Nobody in this world has ever been here with your same fingerprints. And we also have the unique imprint that we are meant to leave on this world. There's a reason why we're here, which I know sometimes life can be so heavy. And I think a lot of times we lose sight of that, whether it's, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom and you're taking care of everybody else, or you're working your 9-to-5 and chasing your dreams. Like there are moments where you can just feel kind of lost in the shuffle or forgotten about or ignored, or does my life even matter? And what I always think about, and I encourage everybody, even like through our podcast, is to think about like looking at your fingerprints in those moments where you don't feel like you know what your purpose is. And say, I might not know, I might not have it all figured out like you and I, where it's like, I didn't know where this podcast was going to go, but I knew that I was supposed to do something. And so I think for people that don't know what their purpose is, find an organization or a cause that really resonates with you and reach out to them and say, hey, can I volunteer? Or Terry is a great example of Enchanted Makeovers. Like that, when I connected with her, she was like, please come to our headquarters. I would love to give you a tour and show you around and tell you our story. And so that's what I did. I like went and met with her in person. Do that. Like the moments in life where I feel like, and even for myself, where I feel like I have lost sight of who I am, who I was created to be, what my purpose is in life. The moment that I do something for someone else, even if it's just a simple, kind gesture, like I love to bake. So I love to like stress bake. Baking something for a neighbor or a friend that you know is going through something difficult. Or my mom was an incredible card writer. She would like handwrite these beautiful cards and notes to just people. She always had a stack of note cards that were in progress. And so that's something that kind of recently I've been trying to do more of. And it's hard to sit down and do that. But the second that we take the pressure off of ourselves, like, oh my gosh, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? The moment that we turn outward, we look outward, that's where you really, I believe, find your mission, find your purpose. So in those moments where you don't feel like you know what it is, turn your eyes outward and look for someone that you can do something kind for or an organization you can get involved in.
It's counterintuitive and yet so intuitive. It's the overanalysis that stops us in our tracks so often in life. And it's getting in there and doing and experience and being with other human beings, seeing new perspectives. I research transformation in my day job and what creates transformational experiences. And so much of that is exactly what you're saying. When I ask people what creates transformation and what makes them feel as though a transformation has occurred is a very consistent progression. And they say that they get out of their own environment. They see things in a different way. And then they begin to experience or live or do things in a different way. And it usually starts with some sort of catalyst, some sort of major influence, like either a crisis or some other change usually catalyzes the need for transformation. And then from there, like if we can have the courage to not just stay sort of holed up in our own worry and fear and analysis or loss or regret or whatever it may be and get out there, I think to your point, we can see so much that we would never find inside our own heads.
And like, we're all made for community, right? Like we're not made to be alone. And so even in those moments, like finding somebody that you can go to coffee with or just saying, hey, like, do you want to meet up? And I know sometimes it can be hard because everybody is so busy and, you know, it's hard to see everybody and be there for every person, but finding those opportunities for connection with people, you know, find your tribe and build your tribe of people that you know that no matter what, if you're just struggling or your head is filled with all these different ideas, you know, I have all these ideas and I don't know where to go. Like somebody that will just listen to you, find that person too. I think that that's something that's really helpful.
I love that. I feel like I get so much out of stories like yours and out of every woman's story that I have the privilege to hear. And I get this wonderful benefit of getting to listen to each of you 3, 4, 5 times through the editing process. And I feel like it is like life lived by osmosis in some ways that I boost my own courage capital every day by listening to how you all do it. What do you get from talking to the Women on One Girl Revolution?
I would say the same. And that was something that I hadn't really thought about. I just was like finding these stories that inspired me. But it's through listening to their stories 3, 4, 5 times through the editing process and then even revisiting them. I'm always revisiting these different stories. Something that just had been on my heart recently was I didn't build the revolution built me. And I'm still not sure exactly what that means, but I feel like it's being written, but it's so true. I had this idea to build the revolution, but I've learned and grown and evolved and become someone that I never could have imagined in so many beautiful ways because I've been changed by each of these conversations with women and their fierce, their bravery, their courage, their zeal, their passion for whatever they're doing, and just how they see the world. That's changed the way that I look at the world, you know, and the way that I look at the things that matter to me or the things that stress me out too. You know, when you're talking about tremendous poverty or these women that are working with people who are survivors of abuse or human trafficking, and they're just making a difference, making an impact just by being who they were created to be. I'm like, okay, I want to be that. Like if it's okay, part of my purpose is One Girl Revolution, but that's not my only purpose. So what are the different facets of my life? And what are the things that I'm still learning and growing and evolving? I believe that we're evolving every single day. We're growing and learning every single day of our lives until the day we die, you know, and even then, like our legacy continues on through how people tell our stories. And so we're writing our stories now and, you know, we have the power to change the trajectory I love the stories where somebody studied, and even my own, right? Like where I studied public affairs and political communications and thought I was going to be this political commentator. And then now I don't do anything in that realm. It's like I am focused on our commonality as women and girls and highlighting those stories. And so I love when somebody's like, yeah, I studied to be a doctor and then my life took a turn and then I did this other thing, or those experiences like you talked about, like these suddenly moments.
Yeah.
Suddenly moments in our life where it just changes everything. And we need to be paying attention for those moments in our lives, because I think we all experience them.
Something that I've been thinking about a lot lately is how, so I'm doing the artist way finally after 20 years of saying I was going to do the artist way.
Sweet.
And one of the things she talks about all the time is shadow artist, and how we have this tendency as creative people, and I think especially maybe people who want to champion and cheerlead on everyone. And it can be really scary to do that for our own ideas and what we have learned, to bring that into the world with the same level of conviction. And so I'm just curious about whether you find it easier to share other people's stories and a little bit more challenging to share your own, and where you are with that now, several years into this role as a professional cheerleader.
When I started One Girl Revolution, I was very adamant that I did not want people to think that I was the One Girl Revolution. Like, from in this yes. world of influencers, like, I didn't want people to be like, oh, this is Kate. Kate is the One Girl Revolution. And even we have there's a girl in one of our logos that I use, because it's a girl from the back. And the reason that I wanted the logo to be like that is I wanted it to be any woman. I was very intentional at the beginning not to talk about myself. I did the first episode of the podcast was me telling my story and like why I started One Girl Revolution, solely because the guest did not show up. I can't remember the whole story. It was years ago. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to wing it. I'm going to tell this story and like set the tone for what One Girl Revolution is and where we're going. But I was very intentional from the beginning that like, I don't want this to be the Kate Milligan platform. I don't want it to be all about me. And so really shining a light out onto other stories. But what I've learned in the past couple of years is it's also important for us to share our stories and yeah. for our voices to be out there, which is why I'm so grateful for opportunities like this to share my story and share about One Girl Revolution. But also, like anything, people need to know who's running the yeah. thing. And so,
especially in a time with so much distrust.
For sure. So yeah. I've really been intentional about not being in the front, not being in the limelight. But now I'm also learning, okay, I need to put myself out there. And it has become so easy for me to help other people tell their stories, because I listen or I read a story and I'm like, yes, like this, we need to highlight this on One Girl. I believe that every single woman and girl is a One Girl Revolution. So just because somebody has not been on the podcast doesn't mean...
Which means you are One Girl Revolution too, right?
Right, right. We all are. And so... that's something that I've kind of had to, like, I'm learning, okay, how do I tell my story? And even like reflecting on my own story as a child and thinking about things that led me to care so much, right? Like, we all have these suddenly moments that lead us to care. And I was bullied as a little kid and became this insular little kid that I never wanted to raise my hand in class. And that's a part of my One Girl story, right? Like, I care about One Girl Revolution. I care about shining a light on these stories. I care about elevating women's voices in their stories, because I know what it feels like to be forgotten about and ignored and unseen at times. And so I don't want any woman or girl to feel that way. So yeah, it's learning how to be both, right? Not be the influencer, because I don't want to be that, but sharing my part of the story, because I am a part of the One Girl Revolution community. And as much as I see One Girl Revolutions and every single woman or girl, it's, I have to remind myself that I am a One Girl Revolution too.
Yes. So beautifully said. And I think it is scary and it does feel maybe a little vulnerable. And especially like if you have a history of bullying, to say like, I'm going to put myself out there myself mm-hmm. and not just other people, that's comes loaded
yeah.
with some history.
Exactly. And in this day and age, there's so much, and I've caught myself doing it even recently, where you're almost too cautious. Like, you don't do it, you don't post anything because you're like, well, what will other people think? And it's mm-hmm. so I, and this is genuinely in the past couple weeks, I was like, why am I overthinking my own Instagram so much? I should have fun with it. And so I've been like playing with it. And I think so often in social media, people feel like they have to have these perfectly curated pages. And obviously there's a lot of thought that goes into One Girl Revolution's page because we're promoting these different stories. And I want to make sure that, you know, each story gets their own space, but then simultaneously promoting inspirational content. So figuring out it's a little more curated, but my own page, like I need to have fun with it and not overthink it and not worry about what is somebody going to think if I post this or if I don't post that. We put so much pressure on ourselves, and it's really like we need to see it as a creator outlet. Like you said, we're all creators and we were all made to create in different ways. And that doesn't mean that you have to be artistic in drawing or painting. Being a creator looks like a whole lot of different things, and social media can be one of those. Taking beautiful photos or baking or gardening. There are so many different ways that you could be a creator and be an artist.
That's right. And giving ourselves the freedom to express that is one of the essential elements of life.
Yes.
We need to create. We need to serve.
Sure. But there's something so powerful. I had a woman on the podcast a couple of months ago, and she said something that just, it has never left me. She's the founder of Freedom in Fashion, this nonprofit organization that works with survivors of abuse and human trafficking. And she talked about the work that she was doing. And she was like working with these survivors, these women who have been victims of terrible, terrible things. And when I look at them, I think about how every single person, but especially women, how women were made to be creators. And you think about even our bodies, right? We're constantly creating. And she said, I look at these women and I see how women can identify as victim, as survivor, or as creator. Mm. And her goal in her work is to get women from victim to survivor and then survivor to creator. Because when you're standing in, if you recognize that you're as unique as your fingerprint, if you're standing in that creative space, that's what standing in your power means to me. We hear stand in your power. Like, what does that actually mean? It's like standing in the space that you were created to stand in to create and make the world a better place.
I love that so much. And another way of saying it would be to be a leader.
Yes.
And I think about that a lot, about how often we feel stuck because we are in a victim energy. Mm-hmm. And when that changes is when we become the leader. Yeah. But I think for women, especially, that word creator feels so powerful because it is in our DNA.
Yeah. Powerful things happen when women find that space, when they find that within them. And sometimes they need to be reminded by other people. Back to my story about, you know, my dad making that comment that gave me the courage to come back to Detroit. I think sometimes we can be that person for others. I think it's important to say that for us to look for opportunities to be that courage capital for someone that might need it, whether it's a family member or a friend or a neighbor or just someone we encounter at the coffee shop. There might be some little instance that happens and you might be the person that gives somebody the courage capital to stand up or speak up or just make a change. And so we need to look for those opportunities too, to be courage capital for other people.
Absolutely. To be the uplifter. You have accomplished so much. We haven't even talked about your freaking film.
Thank you.
So you produced an Emmy nominated documentary, The Girl Inside. You are sparking this whole movement. So what is your next brave step look like, Kate?
Man, there are a lot of brave steps I feel like that I need to take. One is fundraising so I can do more, like the documentary that you mentioned, The Girl Inside. There's obviously so much power in podcasts and highlighting the stories and utilizing social media to highlight these stories. There's so much power in that. There's just a unique power, I would say, in showing people, right? Pulling back the curtain. And The Girl Inside, we actually took a film crew into Cook County Jail in Chicago, so the largest jail in the U.S., and interviewed 5 incarcerated women, not about what they did to end up in Cook County, but about who they are as people. So back to you're as unique as your fingerprint. What is the imprint that you're going to leave on this world? And people can watch it on YouTube. It's only 10 minutes. So it's an easy thing to watch and share. But that was such a eye-opening experience for me and got me thinking about like, okay, it's great to do podcasts, but like, what if you can show people? What if you can pull back the curtain and show people? And women and girls are the fastest growing population in jail and prison, but we never talk about it, right? We look and you look at the news, there are so many issues in our world, but what if you can pull back the curtain and show people, or show people these women and girls that, like I said before, aren't just waiting for the broken systems to fix a problem. They're actually becoming the solution.
Yeah.
So there's so much work to be done there. The podcast continues, but I'm trying to innovate and find new ways to tell these stories. So hopefully more documentaries in the very near future. We hosted a really historic, amazing event here in Detroit in March for Women's History Month. And that is going to become an annual thing because it was so amazing. And Aransas, we had over 20 One Girl Revolutions. So over 20 women that were on, had been on the podcast, traveled in for it. And we filmed a live podcast episode and it was open to the community and it was just transformative. And so there's a lot of work that I want to do with connecting these women and these organizations, but also finding ways to support what they're doing, whether that's through like an entrepreneurship program or something run through One Girl Revolution. And I want to do a summit to tell these stories in new ways. So there's a lot on the horizon, but I'm kind of letting the story write itself.
That's so exciting. And you talk about the fundraising piece and you shared before that that's scary and uncomfortable because it's new territory for you to ask for funding for this. So what wisdom from your guest are you tapping into to help you raise the courage capital to ask for support with this mission?
Yeah, that is a great question. They have all been so supportive and so amazing and like giving advice and connections. And I think that that's such an important lesson for all of us is like, why are we recreating the wheel? You know, if you know how to do something or you have a connection. And even I want to give a shout out. There's a girl here, Demaree, who runs Empower Her, which is this incredible, I think it's the largest women's conference in the state of Michigan. And she's so amazing. When I decided to do this March event, I had no idea. I'd never done an event for One Girl before. We had partnered with other people's organizations or other events, but I had never kind of led an organization. I reached out to her and she was like, what do you need? Who do you need? Like, who do you need to be connected with? Can I send you this list of like potential donors to support the event? And so shout out to Demaree because that just really blew me away as somebody who, and she was a new friend at the time. So it's like, what can we all be doing to support one another to elevate these voices and stories and, you know, not recreating the wheel. So I'm so grateful for the community that I have at One Girl for sure.
I love that. Kudos to you for having the courage to ask and not trying to do it all on your own, which I think is the biggest fallacy of all of this, right? Mm-hmm. Is that we feel like we need to be independent and we need to be so resourceful that we try to go solve all the problems ourselves, try to come up with all the money ourselves and hustle, hustle, hustle. And we make things unsustainable as a result.
Yeah.
But the more people we can pull onto the platform with us, the more sustainable and more exponential these things can grow.
For sure. And like knowing what your gifts and talents are is like another piece of it. And don't feel like you have to do what everybody else is doing and know what your vision is for something. And then pull in the people that you're like, oh, like I was texting with somebody earlier who, a new friend who works in fundraising. And we're like, all right, how can we work together? How can we collaborate? And we should see more collaboration in the world, especially when it comes to women.
So how can we as an uplifter community uplift you and the amazing work of One Girl Revolution?
Oh my goodness, what a great question. Well, people can subscribe to the One Girl Revolution podcast. So it's the number One Girl Revolution. That's an easy way. I always say that like the free and easy way to support anybody, to uplift anybody is just to follow them on social media. So people can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm like learning. I feel like an old person on TikTok, but I'm like learning and having fun with it. We're on YouTube so people can watch The Girl Inside. We also have a second documentary that people can check out there too. And that's where all the podcasts are going out. So it's an easy way to either subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or just subscribe to our YouTube channel and you'll get that new episode emailed to you every single week. And then any other videos we're posting up there. And so, yeah, people can do that. And then we're a nonprofit multimedia organization. So 100% of anything that people donate goes right back to support our work and helps us to tell more stories. So people can go onto our website, the1girlrevolution.com, and donate, become a monthly donor even. And, you know, even a couple of dollars. We were celebrated our 6-year anniversary. So a lot of people were donating $6 a month because they were like, all right, that's a coffee. Like, I can do that to support more stories. And then we also have all kinds of cool female empowerment swag that people can go to our website, and any purchase of a t-shirt goes back just to support our work. And then you can rep the movement. Because like I said, every single woman and girl is a one girl revolution. And so in those days where you feel like you don't have the courage or you don't know what to do, put that shirt on and it will inspire you. So
I love that. Again, osmosis. And who would you like to nominate for the Uplifters, Kate?
So I always joke about One Girl Revolution that I'm like a proud mom and I can't choose a favorite child. I love all of the One Girls in the same. And so I encourage everybody who's listening, go check them out, because literally all 262 of them are so inspiring. So I would nominate any of them. But the one that I want to give a shout out to is my dear friend, Rachel Giordano, producer Rachel here in Michigan. She's amazing. She's a creator. She was a producer for The View. Then she was a producer for a radio show here in Detroit. And she is such an uplifter. I just want to give a shout out to producer Rachel because she is such a powerhouse. She's so inspiring. She is such an uplifter. And I can't wait to see where she goes next. I'm just so blown away by everything that she is, everything she stands for, everything she's accomplished, but I can see big things ahead for her. So that's my shout out for producer Rachel.
Oh, yay, producer Rachel. I can't wait to meet her.
She's amazing. You're going to love her too. She's so hysterical.
Amazing. Because you know what? Things are serious enough. Yeah. We need more funny.
Yeah.
It was really nice to meet you, Kate. You're amazing.
Oh my gosh, you are amazing. Thank you so much for everything that you do. I can't wait to continue to uplift you and your stories and this incredible podcast. So thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you. You're a true uplifter. And we'll put links to all these beautiful resources in the show notes so people can find them. Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the uplifters in your life. And then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more uplifters and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa, lift you up.
Mommy, stop crying. You're disturbing the peace.